Blake McGregor, and on the 9th of August, 1968, a Mrs. L. M. Tate of Lomond, about 5 miles east of Lake McGregor, for over 2 hours, watched a very brilliant light move up and down and hover and perform maneuvers over Lake McGregor. She called her husband and her granddaughter, Kathy Richardson, and they all watched it. They went outside at various times. And when it was dropping, the light, which is intensely bluish white, would become brighter, and it dropped very much faster than a plane would. So that it looks as if this visitor is coming back to the reservoir in southern Alberta. I've just been talking to her by telephone today, September 29th, 1968.
I'm Evan Evanson from Taborn in Alberta. Now, we're fixing the highway on highway number C. I'd taken a girl out to the drive-in, and I took her home, and I didn't want to go through that, through all that mess, so I decided to take 36. It's longer, but at least then you don't have to go through all that mess. I was going down the road, and when I noticed that I got halfway down, and I was looking at my, you know, the gauge for the temperature. It was climbing right over to hot. I couldn't figure it out because it's never done it before. So I saw this driver in the field, so I thought I'd pull in and shut her off and let her cool off and just get out and look under the hood and see if I was out of water or something. So I pulled in there all right, and I just turned the truck off, and I was going to reach down for the handle and open the door, and I looked out the window, and that's when I first saw it. It was a real light, green light to it. I don't really know how long it was, but I could see the top, and it sort of had a dome shape to it. My radio had been playing at the time, and it sort of faded out, and I got a steady beep, beep, beep sound, and it sort of gave me a funny feeling. I was scared, I think, and I went and reached down and turned it off. And I only looked at it in a couple of seconds, and I looked back out the window, whatever was there was gone. And it must have been going at tremendous speed, because anything else wouldn't have time to leave that fast.
Now, you could see the top of it. Could you give me any idea how far the edges were, or the sides?
I think it was about the size of my cab, and the front of the bumper was attached to the back of the cab. And it was about 6 feet high. Because I could see the top of it. I couldn't see the sides of the bottom. And it was sort of moving back and forth a little. Like it was off the ground a little bit, you know, hovering there. Mm-hmm. Trying to stay in that one spot, mm-hmm, without moving around too much.
That's moving sideways very slightly.
Yeah.
Now, the outline, was it sharp or fuzzy?
Well, I could see the top pretty good. And I couldn't really see the signs because I was too far back in the seat, and the truck door was closed, and I couldn't see the bottom, and I had the window closed too in the truck.
Now, this seemed to be glowing with its own light.
Yes.
And there was moon that night, I think you told me.
Yes, there was a moon that night.
So this thing, instead of the moonlight reflecting off it, it was glowing with its own green light.
Yes, and its own light. It was glowing with its own light.
How close do you think it was to your truck?
Well, if I'd opened the window, I think I could have touched it. It was about 3 feet from my door, I think, because it looked real close.
This glow that it had, how would that compare with the moonlight and brightness?
Well, it wasn't as bright as the moon.
I see. Now, you spoke of your truck overheating. Has it ever done that since?
No, it hasn't.
I see.
Never.
Now, you say you couldn't see the sides of the edges. Did this top slope off at all toward the sides, or was it level?
It looked like it, both sides sort of sloped down at an angle. So it was sort of like a plate, so like.
Did you have any feeling other than being frightened, or I shouldn't put words in your mouth. How did you feel?
Well, I was scared. I didn't notice any reactions from it, you know, like, you know, heating up, you know, hot or something. I'm just scared. I never did feel sick after his account, but I did dream about it for a week after. Especially this one night, I had a dream that I got out of a truck and they took me away. And that's when I woke up. I was sort of sweating, you know. I could tell I was in perspiring all night from the dream, because it sort of scared me. But I did dream about it every week, though. I mean, every day.
Thank you very much. I'm Mrs. Scott. This is D.C. Scott. We live in Calgary, but we have a farm in southern Alberta through which the Travis Dam flows. Now, this is a federal dam. It is fed from Lake McGregor and comes down Snake Valley. And our buildings had to be all moved back from the water at the time that the dam ran through. Approximately about a year ago now, just before duck hunting season opened, the ducks were very sick down there because it's quiet, and we use the residence only for summer use or summer cottage or family and ourselves. This night, we were down there, and I was asleep on a chest bed in the front room, but was awakened by a very loud rattling of the screen door. And it was bothering me, so I got up to close it. Every night before I went to bed, I usually looked toward the east. The house faces the east, and I looked up the lake, and there's a very large star up there that I have always called my Star of the East. This night, I looked up, and I was fascinated because it was so huge. I couldn't believe. I just wondered. I rubbed my eyes to see if I was seeing things. But it was there all right. I've never seen it so large. And just then, it began to drop. And it dropped so fast. And behind it, from where it had dropped, was my Star of the East, very much smaller and very much dimmer. I could see this thing coming. It seemed to follow up the valley of the lake, or the valley of the little bow, that is. And that is where the Travis Dam is. The federal government turned the water from Lake McGregor into the valley of the Little Bow, which forms the Travis Dam. But I watched this thing, and it was coming at such a terrific rate, I was scared, and I began calling to my husband, who was awake, and the water all lit up, and there was a lot of ducks and geese in there that night, and they seemed to just take fright, and they made such a tremendous cackle and a noise. And the water all lit up, and I saw the flapping of their wings and the honking and the going on, and I kept calling my husband. I was so fascinated. I said, "Oh, come, quick, hurry up." And he didn't know, and he was just grunted, and that's the only answer I got. So I just kept looking at this thing, but I thought Stuart was coming right square through the house. Well, when it got about, I would say, about a quarter of a mile away, it just seemed to turn and veer to the south and take off to the southwest again. Now, to do this, the elevation had to be very steep because the banks at this particular place are very high. But it just seemed to know how to escape any object, and it just took right up there and went off and disappeared into the east. I tried to get my husband up and tried to talk to him about it, and, well, he said he thought that maybe I wanted him to see the to hear the noise that the geese were making. Although he was in bed, he still could hear the terrible racket and still wouldn't get up. But in the meantime, after I did go to bed, I was just shaking so, and it wasn't because I was cold. It just was something, I didn't know what it was. I was just trembling all over, and I didn't go to sleep for many hours. That is the only one that I have seen down there. We've seen falling meteors and what we thought to be stars, various things, but we've never seen this object. Now, I have been asked what it was like, and the only thing I can say to describe it is, if you have ever met a car on a highway with a high beam on, with a white light, well, if you just can imagine putting 12 of those together in a circle, or in a ball, whichever way you like, and you looking right into it. I was standing there, and I had to hold my head, because my eyes seem to be drawn right out of my head. But anyway, that is the only description that I can give it. Now, I was so fascinated and so frightened, I was wanting to
hear if I could hear anything like a motor or what was driving it. And I couldn't on account of these geese and the ducks are making such a clatter and the honking and the flapping of their wings that I couldn't hear if there was any motor. Now, if there was any sound of anything like a plane or a drone or any kind of a sound, I got to admit that I could not hear that. It could have been, too, from my fear and my nervousness, along with the ducks, that may have made me that I couldn't hear anything or couldn't hear any sound. But any further than that, I couldn't say that I saw any more.
Now, when you speak of 12 headlights, do you mean it was as bright as 12 headlights combined at one, or did these appear as separate lights around the
office? No, they were combined as one. They just seemed to be like one big ball, just one into the other.
Yes. Could you give me any idea of how the size of the object would compare with, say, the full moon if it's been in that position?
Oh, it is much bigger than that. Well, I have been asked about how big it was, or how far away it was. Now, the only way I can judge, about 1 mile from us is a provincial park on the north side of the dam. Halfway up from that park is a point coming out, which we figure is halfway. Then, in between that halfway point and our home, is a small bay called McKay Bay. And it was just round about McKay Bay that this object veered and went up over the hill, so that I would figure that it just was about a quarter of a mile away.
And how high above the water at its closest approach?
Well, it is pretty hard to judge, but I would say between 50 to 100 feet.
Now, you spoke of a white light. Did it have any tinge other than just pure white?
Yes, there was kind of a bluey sort of a tinge. Something like the vapor lights that we have here in the street, but they were just this kind of a bluey light.
Do you remember the weather conditions? Were there clouds or it was a clear
night? No, it was a very nice, bright starlight night. That is why I was looking up. It wasn't bright. It was a dark night, but there was a great many stars out. And that is when I stood there before I went to bed and looked at the star of the east, and then again later.
Now, when it lit up the water, would you say it was as bright as a full moon illuminating the water?
Yes, it would be. It would be as bright as that, except a whiter light. The full moon usually makes a gold light, but this made kind of a white light.
Do you mind if I use this on the radio, perhaps?
No, if you would care to, if it would help at all and anything that you might learn further about the UFOs, I'd be only too glad.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Scott.